and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love and amazing grace. In the Hebrew, it is called the poraketh. It's a divider, a partition, a barrier, a wall separating two rooms. This one is not made out of wood or plaster, nor of stone and mortar, but of needle and thread. It's not painted a solid color, but was multicolored and with beautiful stitching. It was a curtain. The English translators of the Bible call it the veil. Jewish tradition says that it was 4 fingers breadth in thickness, and it was far too thick to be able to see what lay beyond. Exodus 26, 31 through 33 says, "You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with a cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. You shall hang it on 4 pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, and their hooks being of gold, and 4 sockets of silver. You shall hang up the veil under the clasps, and you shall bring the ark of the testimony there within the veil, and the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies." The veil separated that holy place from the holy of holies, or the most holy place. It separated a room that was entered into daily from a room that was entered in only one day a year. And the only one allowed to enter that room was one man on that one day. On that one day, the only one man could be the only one to enter if he had been specifically prepared to do so. He must be properly bathed, properly dressed, properly adorned, and most importantly, properly equipped. See, if this man entered in without the proper preparation, he most certainly would not survive. Knowing this, we could almost imagine that he went in with a raised level of anxiety, of uncertainty, and with much trepidation. The most important thing he took with him was the blood taken from a specific sacrifice, blood that was applied to specific locations on his body. And without the blood from that sacrifice, his entrance was forbidden. And the veil would then serve as its purpose and live up to its name, the poraketh, which means a separator. Isaiah 59:2 says this, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." But at the time of Jesus' death, something dramatic, something amazing, and something significant happens to that veil. Matthew 27, 50 and 51 says this, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom." The Jewish historian Josephus said that the veil was at least 4 inches thick and that horses tied to each side could not pull the veil apart. The estimated height of the veil is anywhere between 45 and 60 feet tall. So along with its thickness and the direction in which it was tore, it would make that event humanly impossible. But the significance is what is so important. The veil has now ceased to be a separation from and has become an access to what lie beyond. Because one special and specific man, Jesus Christ, and his specific and special sacrifice that has separated us from God has been removed, along with any trepidation that we should experience. So now we can clearly see what lies beyond the torn veil. And we see the mercy seat of God. What was once a throne of judgment has now become a throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The Hebrew writer will go on to say in the 10th chapter, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has inaugurated through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Father, we do come before you realizing the details that you put in history for us to understand of the power and the significance of the death of Christ and the sacrifice that was paid on our behalf. And Father, you have looked at us in such a way that we need not to come before you with fear and trembling, but Father, we can come before you in confidence, knowing your love for us because of the blood of Christ. And so, Father, as we come today to remember his sacrifice, to remember that price that was paid as we partake of the bread, as we remember the body that was so abused, as we partake of the cup and we remember that blood that was shed for us to redeem us and to purchase us back to you and to give us and to restore us and to encourage us and, Father, to save us. We come before you, Father, thanking you for this and glorifying the name of Christ in all that we do. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for mercy. And, Father, we long for your grace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.